The heart of the matter is what we're on about today. The heart of the matter in our relationship with God. Please open the scriptures to Psalm 130. We're going to read this psalm first, and then we'll turn to Luke chapter 18. Psalm 130. Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. O Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to my cry for mercy. If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness. Therefore you are feared. I wait for the Lord. My soul waits, and in his word I put my hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than watchmen wait for the morning. More than watchmen wait for the morning. O Israel, put your hope in the Lord. For with the Lord is unfailing love, and with him is full redemption. He himself will redeem Israel from all their sins. The reason we've read that psalm, Psalm 120 to Psalm 135 are the songs of ascent. They're the psalms which the Israelites would have read together as they walked up that temple hill in Jerusalem, up to the temple itself, and approached God. Turn to Luke 18, because this parable that Jesus tells in Luke 18 is about when they got to the temple. It's about two men, a Pharisee and a tax collector, as they approached this temple. That psalm was one of the psalms they would have been singing and saying to each other as they walked toward the temple. Now please turn to Luke 18 from verse 9, just verses 9 to 14. To some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everybody else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood up and prayed about himself. God, I thank you that I am not like other men, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Brothers and sisters, today we're studying the very heart of the matter. It's the very heart of the Christian faith. It's the energy which holds all of reality together. We're going to hear Jesus Christ teach us about God. Jesus is going to show us that at his very core, God is a God of mercy. To start with, I'd love you to put aside, as we approach this passage, how you think the world works. We're going to let Jesus Christ teach us about how we ought to approach God. Whatever you think prevents you from coming to know God, please put that to one side. Whatever you think gives you confidence to come into the presence of God, please put that to one side as well. Jesus is going to show us the way in. My purpose today, my aim is simple from this passage. I want you to come away asking God for mercy. To get there, we're going to have to humble ourselves before God and before each other and hear Jesus speak so that we can recognise that God is a God who does show mercy to the sinner. Two caveats. These are serious ones to start with because we're looking at the very heart of the Christian faith. Two caveats which are fairly serious. One is that if you're an arrogant person, you may find this passage personally difficult. It'll be fairly challenging to you because humility and acceptance of others are probably not your strong suit, if that's you. Turn back a few pages to Luke 15. We actually see this played out in Luke 15. That wonderful parable where the father has two sons, one runs away, does the dodgy, comes home, doesn't deserve to come home, but the father accepts him. And it's the oldest son who gets a bit ticked off. Back in Luke 15 from verse 21, this dodgy son has come home, and it says from Luke 15 from verse 21, this son said to him, "Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son." But the father said to his servants, "Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." So they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. "Your brother's come home," he replied, "and your father's killed the fattened calf, and he has back because he has him back safe and sound." The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him, but he answered his father, "Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and have never disobeyed your orders. Yet you have never given me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours who has squandered your property with prostitutes comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him." "My son," the father said, "you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." The first caveat today is that for some, seeing others receive mercy is a personal challenge to them. The second caveat is that for some, today is a fairly dangerous passage in Luke 18, because scandalously, God just offers us sheer mercy. The hands are open wide to just come in. For some, this might be a dangerous message, because on the one hand, you'll be tempted to receive the free gift of God and allow you therefore to go and live your ungodly life with the other. For some, this might be a dangerous message because you might be tempted to live a double life, receiving free forgiveness while continuing to indulge in sin. The verse for that, just one verse, no need to turn there, I'll read it. It's from Jude verse 4. It talks about this sort of person who receives the mercy of God but just lives in a dodgy way. Jude verse 4 talks about certain people who'd slipped into the fellowship there unawares. They are godless men who change the grace of God into a license for immorality. They turn the grace of God into a license for immorality. So two caveats today as we hear the heart of God, mercy. One to those who don't like others getting mercy, and one to those who use mercy as an excuse to go on sinning. Please be neither. To hear Jesus' words today, that we might gain this mercy of God, we need humility first of all, and desire second to live godly. Our goal today is that we would come to God and ask him for mercy. Well, to the story, Luke 18. The story here says it all. It's short, it's sharp, it's to the point. Jesus has one target, you may have noticed, who in this target has sort of a double aspect. Notice there in verse 9, to some who are confident of their own righteousness. So to this group of people, on one aspect is they're confident of their own righteousness, and they secondly look down upon everybody else. This is Jesus' target. A group of people who are confident of their own righteousness and look down upon everybody else. Now, if you approach that sort of person in the street and just point out the obvious, you're confident and you're fairly self-confident and you look down on others like me, you may not get very far. Jesus, brilliantly in the way that he does it, kicks off with a wonderful little parable that sort of sneaks up on this person. He disarms the obvious clash you might have with this sort of arrogant person by weaving it into this wonderful little parable. It's a nasty target, and we have a bit of a tense story time with Jesus here in Luke 18. Two men wander up into the temple. Two men approach. And so what we're looking at here is, what does it mean to come to the temple to meet with God? This is the heart of it all. What does it mean to come to meet with God? We have two options. First of all, let's look at the tax collector in verse 10. What has he got? What does he take with him to approach God? Now, I reckon this Pharisee plays a strange move to begin with. He plays the relative game. He starts off with a comparison. Notice there in verse 11. The Pharisee stood up and prayed about himself. God, I thank you that I am not like other men, evildoers, robbers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector standing just next to me right now. Notice the Pharisee's move. The Pharisee doesn't rock up to God and say, God, I deserve to come in because of blah. He says, I deserve to come in because I'm not like them. I'm better than the others. I wouldn't reckon that would have a bit of a rub with God, but at the same time, the Pharisee goes on. He's got a second card to play. Notice as he keeps going in verse 12, his second card is, I fast twice a week and I tithe, I give a tenth of all that I get. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all that I get. This is a genuine card, I suppose, he could play. This is something to my credit. Notice here he's done double credit, because the law didn't actually require this much. The law didn't require him to actually fast twice. It was only once. And the law didn't require him to give a tenth of all that he get, just of this and that and the other. He's covering his bases double time here. God, I've not just done what you wanted, but I've given a tenth of all that I get, and I even fast twice a week. This Pharisee has played his ace cards. Well, he's put it all on the table. We move on. Tax collector, verse 13. We switch. Verse 13, but the tax collector stood over at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. As we see here, we notice he just says, have mercy on me, and we look back and he doesn't even use the word pray. This guy is so conscious of his sin, he doesn't even have the piety or the self-confidence to go, I'm now going to sit down and pray to you, God. It's just that, have mercy, I'm a sinner. And it's not as though he plays the relative game back to the Pharisee. The Pharisee dumped on the tax collector earlier. The tax collector just stands to the side and says, beats his breast and says, well, yep, you can dump on me. I'm a sinner. I own up to that. That's just how it is. He doesn't play back at the tax, doesn't play back at the Pharisee. He just says, yes, it's all about me, and, well, nothing I can do. Have mercy on me, a sinner. All the time in his manner, unlike the Pharisee who's got his head toward heaven, this man here just sits in the corner, just beating his breast. Head down, head slumped. There's no foot forward trying to get into the door of the temple for this guy. And then looking at what he asks for, have mercy on me, a sinner, looking back compared to the Pharisee didn't actually ask for anything. He just rocked up as though he belonged, and I'm, thank you, I'm not like them, and I'll be back next time. This tax collector rocks up and says, I have a need. Help. Have mercy on me. A sinner. Well, the temple visit's over. Two men went up and two have come back down. What's the conclusion of the matter? There in verse 14, Jesus tells us, I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted. Quite literally there in verse 14, it's sort of going down the hill. This is the conclusion of the matter. One's justified, the other is not. We have two men who went up, and in the conclusion, going down, just as an afterthought, throwing in as they go home, hey, that one's justified and that one is not. What has gone on that this dirty, rotten, sinful tax collector has walked home almost unbeknownst to himself, justified, and the Pharisee has wandered down the hill, fairly pompous, not realising that he's gone home condemned? What's gone on? Notice how Jesus switches it as well. To start with, as we would think, there's the one man, the Pharisee, and it was the other came along, a tax collector. Back in verse 10, it was the tax collector who was sort of relegated to be the other man because the Pharisee is the important one. Notice what Jesus done in the reversal on the way home in verse 14. It's no longer the Pharisee who gets pride of place. In verse 14, Jesus' focus now is upon the tax collector. This one goes home justified. It's now the other one is now the Pharisee. He's the one on the outer. Everything has switched as they've gone to the temple and come back down. The inner man, the Pharisee, is on the outside. The outside man, the tax collector, is now knowing God. To be justified before God, it's really plain. It's really plain. It's not about the things that you have done, good or bad. It's not about the things you have not done, good or bad. It's simply that God provides you with mercy. What a happy little visit to the temple for that tax collector. What a happy little day as he would have trudged up that hill and come home justified. He knew as he walked up that temple that he did not belong. You could have almost seen that the Pharisee not missing a step, maybe two steps at a time, I've got to get to the temple to talk to God. The tax collector would have just trudgingly dragged his heels, one step up, two backwards, do I really have to go? Desperately, he gets to the top. He knows he doesn't belong. He said, look, I don't belong here. I'm going to stand at a distance, beating my breast. I need mercy. And he's the one who walks down the hill justified. Actually, it was the Pharisee who did not belong. I'm going to read again from Psalm 130. Psalm 130, one of these songs of ascent as they would have walked to the temple. Listen to this psalm and just think about the attitude that the Israelites ought to have had as they walked up to the temple. Here's Psalm 130 again. This is what should have been going through the Israelites' head as they walked to the temple. Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. O Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to my cries for mercy. If you, O Lord, had kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness. Therefore you are feared. I wait for the Lord, my soul waits, and in his word I put my hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than the watchman for the morning, more than the watchman for the morning. O Israel, put your hope in the Lord, for with the Lord is unfailing love, and with him is full redemption. He himself will redeem Israel from all their sins. Psalm 123, this is one of the songs of ascent as they would have walked up to the top of the temple. Psalm 123, I lift my eyes to you whose throne is in heaven, as the eyes of slaves look to the hand of their master, as the eyes of a maid look to the hand of her mistress, so our eyes look to the Lord our God till he shows us mercy. Have mercy on us, O Lord. Have mercy on us, for we have endured much contempt. We have endured much ridicule from the proud, much contempt from the arrogant. This is the words and the sentiment that would have been flowing through the blood of the Israelites as they walked up to that temple to approach God. God, as I come to you, give me mercy. Actually, as they approached this temple, these two men walked to the top. It was exposed that the tax collector, it was the Pharisee who did not belong. He didn't go seeking mercy. He went to boast. The tax collector was in exactly the right place, feeling like a sinner, in reality being a sinner, and then coming to God asking for mercy. He was where he belonged as a sinner coming to be cleansed. It was the Pharisee who was out of place, going to the temple, to God's presence. He was exposed as being arrogant and proud. His heart was not right. Unknowingly, he actually went home quite in a bit of trouble. What we learn here from Luke 18 as we hear Jesus speak is that we bring nothing to God, not a single thing. We need to be really clear here that the tax collector brought absolutely nothing to God and went home justified. He didn't lean back on the fact when he got to the top of the mountain, he didn't sort of say to God, hey, I've done wrong, but I intended well. He didn't lean back on good intentions and say, I'll try better next time. It was just that I couldn't follow through. He doesn't go up to God and say, God, look, you can see I'm a sinner on the outside, but deep down inside, I do really love you. He didn't lean back on something on the inside as I look deeper, you'll see something good. He knew that through and through, he was a sinner. He doesn't deserve to be here. There was no song, no cooperating with God, and not even here, not even his plea allowed him entry into the presence of God. It's not as though he stood at the side beating his breast for 5 minutes, really contrite. After 5 minutes, hey God, did you see how genuinely sorry I am? You should therefore let me in because of how genuinely sorry I am. Therefore, I deserve to be in your presence. He beat his breast for 5 minutes, turned around and went down the hill because that doesn't get him into God's presence either. There is nothing at all that we can bring to God. Nothing that allows us to have a right to his presence. This guy doesn't call himself a victim. Deep down, he's not a good person. He's a sinner in reality, and he feels like it. And yet, he comes to God, and God provides mercy. At his core, the wonderful hope for us all and for the world is that God gives us mercy. What an absolute joy. What liberation that we might then be honest with ourselves. Yes, I'm a sinner, and yes, God forgives. End of the story. Scandalously, it's not those who are at ease who are saved, it's those who come to God for mercy. You know how this can be. You know why this is the case. At the end of the reach term, we'll come to Easter. It's because Jesus died upon the cross. Luke 18 here, it's just 3 or 4 chapters before we get to the climax of the entire of the scriptures, the climax of the story of God's grace and mercy to us through the death of Jesus Christ. Here in Luke 18, we see two men, a tax collector and a Pharisee, walk up to a mountain. In 3 or 4 chapters' time in Luke's gospel, we'll see another man, Jesus Christ, walk up a nearby hill, and there he will give his life for the sins of the world. That man will bear the shame and the contempt and take upon himself our judgment, so God might offer us mercy. Come to God, ask for mercy. And receiving mercy, because that's what he's like, and because Jesus had paid the price, go to your neighbour. Go to the guy down the street. Go to your colleague. Tell them that God offers them also mercy. Shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, your merciful nature strengthens us and gives us confidence to confess that we are sinners. Father, we have done things that we ought not to have done, and we have not done things that we should have. Father, we need forgiveness. Show us mercy, Father. Forgive us our sins. Cleanse us. Thank you that Jesus' death provides your people, us, with full redemption. Father, help us to celebrate and be glad that our sins have been forgiven through Jesus Christ. And Father, might this truth of our forgiveness of sins motivate us to tell others so they too can be saved along with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.